Okay. And this related to knowing the Lord's leading. You may pray about these certain things and it may not be clear and so forth. Okay. About the college application. Certainly, you know, there are many aspects. You apply to certain things, and certainly that will be something related to your interest. You know, you may interest in a particular area, and you like to pursue in that area, and that's perfectly okay. But sometimes you may have various considerations. As I said, you know, when I was in college, of course, I was not saved yet. So I just, you know, do whatever I think, you know, I like and so forth. But of course, Taiwan's system is also different. You have many things. You just happen to be getting to a certain area, and then you just get into it. But in this country, you have many choices. And not only that, even if you got into a major or a particular area, you can always change. I know a brother who actually, his family is in business. He wanted to pursue business, so he get into the business, and later on, he actually doing quite well in one of these accounting firm in Big Eight, so-called at that time. And he was dealing with all the CFOs, right? Chief financial officers and so forth, you know, pretty good. And then, but he was considering what he really should do. He was concerned about this, concerned about that, to be a lawyer and so forth and so on. And later on, he really decided that he wanted to be a doctor, a physician. So he just forget about that and quit everything, go back to study the biology, chemistry, physics, take some classes in junior college, some classes and made it up, and make up all this background, and took the MCAT, and then he applied for medical school, graduated from Stanford, and then he's a physician. So, you know, these things, and he forget about all the businesses, so you can do that. And also, I know a sister, actually, who was teaching in high school, and after he got retired, about 50 years old, and then she went to FTTMA, middle-aged training. After that, she went back to school, got a PhD, and so forth, and then started another career. Another sister was early part in the church life, probably almost my age, I think. And after her husband retired, all the children married, she went back to school, get a PhD in music. So now she's in a college, be a music professor. So as far as your career and all these things, in this country, it's really fairly flexible. It's not that you get into something, it's a fix you for the entire life. It's not that way. So in a sense, you just feel the way, pray to the Lord, how the Lord leads you into a certain area. And to me, at least in here, it's not that terribly serious, like you get married or something. You know, not going to change for the rest of life as far as the major in college and so forth. But saying that, after saying that, doesn't mean that, or since it's not, don't have a sort of a lifelong consequence, therefore, I don't care about it. I don't mean that at all. I do mean that in everything, great or small, we do seek for the Lord's leading the best we can. Because that way, this is called the redeem the time, so that we don't go the... this is a bit too... Okay. Maybe you can adjust down a bit, maybe too much. Too loud and a lot of echoing. So, but this come to a more general topic, perhaps, how do we know the Lord's leading? Perhaps that's a bit more general, not rather than, of course, a big thing is that which college to go and which major initially, you know, which major to get in and which college to go. And but in many things, that how do we know? My experience is this, that number one is we pray, Lord, I have such a thing in me. as I said, you know, the Bible says, make your request known to the Lord. Make your request known to the Lord. But then at the same time says, well, this is my desire, Lord, but I present it to you. You know, and then, but lead me the way you want me to go. Lead me the way you want me to go. And whatever you arranged, I'll happily, thankfully receive from you. In that sense, in everything, give thanks. So that's, you know, I cannot say I choose college that way because I haven't got saved. But later on, I would say in many, many things, you know, you give me the time, I can probably talk a couple hours about one event after another and so forth. You know, as I said, you know, after I finished college, and then the next step is what do I do? I can go get a job. I can go continue study. I can drop the job, serve the Lord full time. Actually, that was my intention. Last session, I said, you know, I consecrate myself to the Lord. Lord, whatever you want to do, drop the job to serve you full time, I'll be very happy for it. Actually, my wife shared about it. She says, well, go to Africa, practice sleeping on the floor. And actually, at the time, I may reveal a bit, actually, she and I, we already talk about this. And I say, well, I may go to Africa. And my intention is that the, you know, later on there's some question about the marriage. And when she shared about this in the high school, chasing the train and get very physically fit, go to the college, you know, her running is way ahead of everybody else. And later on I'll tell you, if I get the time to do this, that's one of the reasons, one of the two reasons I got an interest in her. Anyway, we come to, because there's some questions about marriage and so forth. So my point, you know, in terms of seeking for the Lord's leading, you know, sometimes we got a very clear speaking from the Lord, then we are very clear. But sometimes we are not very clear. You know, I would say many times I wasn't very clear because at least our mind is complicated. The more you consider the so-called pros and the cons, you list the two columns, you know, the positive side, the negative side, you never get clear that way, at least not 100% clear anyway. So we can only go on to the best extent we can and pray to the Lord. Lord, remember, I consecrate myself to you. I belong to you. You know, I may have a certain plans, considerations, and also in terms of my practical, say like applications, make arrangements, we have to do something, you know, go in a certain way. But also, even in doing that, we also allow the Lord the room to come in, to intervene, to change it. Okay. But in this doing, I can assure you, brothers and sisters, our Lord is the one we believe is the one who calls things not being as being and give life to the dead. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I do not say this in a light way because, you see, this is in Romans it says that Abraham believed the one who calls things not being as being and give life to the dead. Of course, we'll know his experience, right? He has no ability. His son is no existence, but God came to visit in his way. So next year, this time, I'll come back, you will have a son. This is called not being as being. And also give life to the dead, offered Isaac as if dead. But then God give life, resurrected. And many times in my life, you know, in large and small, many, many times is this, the Lord just put me in a situation that is become so hopeless. Somehow the Lord turned around, resurrected, and so forth. So that's all I can say at this time, because I do want to cover some of these other items. And later on, you know, anyone, you have a follow-up question, you can just raise up your hand. You know, it's okay, because I don't think we'll get into a heated debate or anything of that sort. Okay. The second part is about the gospel, and this is with respect to someone who is atheist, how do we do? And then also, suppose you go to college or somewhere, your roommate is unbeliever or something like that, and how do we contact the classmates in terms of the gospel, and how do we deal with the oppositions? In terms of the gospel, in my realization is this: the real gospel is not only in what we say, but in how we live. I have to testify is this: in my influence with my classmates, mostly because I live a joyful life. After I got saved, I become a very joyful person. And many times my classmates and so, what happened to you? Isn't it good news today? I said, what good news? There's no good news as such. But why are you so happy about it? What are you happy about? they saw that my smile and the joyful situation, always positive and so forth. So they got very curious. And it's always so happy what happened to you. And in a certain situation, when they have real problems, they will come to me to ask me as a counsel. And they also like to have me to be their friend. Just because, in a way, I'm not conscientiously or purposely doing this. It's just the Lord coming to me, I just become a joyful person. And not only that, also the following is, now looking back, is that in the church life, we do have a lot of ministry, the word and so forth, so on. And when those things happen, I can testify to you, I do my best to follow it. But that was not my nature. I tell you a bit of story. I say my family, I was in a very traditional family, Chinese and the Buddhism influence on the other side, on the cultural side. Intellectual side is actually atheist, because my father grew up in the stage that China has a great change. And he was a young man at that time, received a lot of this sort of what we call the Western influence. At that time, the two things, because China was in a very, very traumatic or turmoil situation, because imperialism, the civil war, and also invasion of Japan, and so forth, so on. So it's very, very difficult. The young men have a way of thinking about how can we save China. Two things: democracy and the science. They thought if China only have the democracy as the political system, and the import or the so-called science from the Western world, and then that will save China. And so my father was getting into the so-called science at the time, and the popular, and so there's no God, and so forth, so on. So when they agreed for me, after I got saved, I said, well, I want to be baptized. And in a way, show their sort of modernness. They said, okay, we have a freedom of religion in our home. And secretly they say, well, this kid, me, was very, very rebellious, very, very naughty. And I still, my mother always tell me, she many times have to take me to apologize to the neighbors, make a compensation for them and so forth. So they thought, religion should, how do I put it, do me some good, will be changing my character and so forth. And I do thank the Lord. After I got saved, the Lord did, gradually have a certain change in me and so forth. And that change, being a rebellious nature, but do my best to follow the Lord and also follow the church. And today we call it follow the flock. And so especially in also that consecration, is that now I belong to the Lord. So I will follow what he says. So in that, I do have a lot of dealings as a new believer. okay, dealing with the past and so forth. So I began to lack a better word, to live more honest, upright. In other words, I will not compromise just because for personal gain. I may suffer certain things, but I will be honest. So with these kind of things, people very quickly will realize you are a person is different. You will not lie. Even if you suffer certain things, you will not try to wiggle through out of it. So these kind of things are living out a sanctified life, and with the word, with a clear conscience in us. And that will have impact on people, because then they know they can trust you. They know they will not protect yourself to do something. You know, in order to protect yourself to do something may not be so good to the others. Because our living is that we want to maintain a clear conscience before the Lord. So that not only this convinced my parents, this also have impact with my friends. So they were open to me in that way. So I say this, is this. Yeah, brothers and sisters, you know, when we share the gospel and so forth, we do have the word, but also we have the deeds, we also have our living. And that is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Never take a vacation from that. And then you will gain their trust. And we do genuinely care for people. I will go out of my way to help my friends and so forth. And so all this put together, that will make our gospel more acceptable to them. I'm not saying everyone's going to be saved that way. But at least they're open to you. They're willing to listen and so forth. So with the acid particularly, you know, I usually say this, you know, in my, you may say, useful enthusiasm, after I got saved, I immediately began to preach the gospel to my parents. And then, as I say, my father is especially very intellectual. So we got into a lot of debate from all kinds of from philosophy, from science, from this and that, and so forth, so on. But at that time, of course, I really did not know Bible that well. Okay, I just got saved. I don't have all these things in there. I just did my best, as far as I know, to try to win the argument to bring them to my side. And I did that with my father almost 50 years. Couldn't convince him. But convince him in the sense that get him to be baptized. He already know, actually only a few years, he already know the God you believe is real. You know, another story. You know, when I came to U.S. and so forth, oh, I don't have to worry. Your God will take care of you and so forth. He knows. He knew. The God, because the testimony, that's just undeniable. But subjectively, that he can receive the Lord as his personal Savior and be baptized, that's a big step for him. But to make a long story short, when he was about 98, he was baptized.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I was very, very happy for that. After that, he always, whenever I visit him, he always wanted me to read the Bible for him. It's really, so this is another side, is that, you know, our labor in faith never be in vain.
Amen.
You know, the word, which is the incorruptible seed, you know, you just plant, and then it will eventually come out. So nowadays, you know, I do a lot of this so-called gospel forum, go to various campuses for this sort of Q&A, or this thing. For atheists, typical thing is this, there's a lot of argument. Give me the proof. You know, give me the proof.
Right?
Show me something. And then, of course, we do have the proof. We do have something, evidence to show them, except those things are mostly in the spiritual realm. Right. And which, unless they themselves experience it, they never really know. Because they want something only in the physical side.
Right.
So my approach in knowing they're sort of coming from. Number one is really pray for them.
Amen.
You know, like in Ephesians 2. These ones, they don't believe because there's a power in the air, you know, which is operating them. It's called the disobedience. And then we need to pray that their mind, high mind, will be brought down to be in the obedience of Christ. So number one is that we really need to pray for them. And then number two is that I will say certain things to shake the foundation of their strong belief in their argument. But not to tear the whole thing down. Only to the point that, well, perhaps their argument may not be that tight. They possibly they will entertain certain alternatives. In other words, when you attack a city and so forth, you just breach, you know, a gap so that the world, they're willing to consider. You do not need to tear down the entire wall. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So the point is not to win the argument, but rather to make them put the doubt in their stronghold. You say, well, my argument may not be so watertight after all, because there are other things you really need to consider. So once they begin to be able to consider the alternatives, which is the Bible, the Word, and so forth, and something will get into them. That's usually my approach. Number one is pray. Number two is that use their sort of this logic and so forth, put something in them so that they will not be so strong. Now, as to the practical argument, that's too much detailed. I will not. Because, you know, one thing is good is that, well, not good, because I'm a mathematics major and the logic is the foundation. And then I can show them, and with many things, that in the logic, they're full of paradoxes. Paradoxes. You know, you cannot have a very watertight logic system. Within the logic is actually, there's a lot of paradox, inconsistency, and so forth. Just demonstrate human reasoning has its limitations. Oh. Yeah. As a lighter side, I just ask you, you know, if I am the one who shave everyone who doesn't shave himself, is that clear? And the question is, do I shave myself or not? I shave everyone who doesn't shave himself. I say that. You know, I shave everyone. Shave. Yeah, shave. Or do haircut. Okay. Shave. I shave everyone who doesn't shave himself. That's a very simple statement, right? Then the question is, do I shave myself? If I shave myself, I don't shave myself. If I don't shave myself, then I shave myself. Shave. Shaving. Okay? So things like this, you know, it's a very simple example to demonstrate to you that the human logic, you know, like this, is full of paradoxes and so forth. And this is a very simple statement, right? You can use a shaving to do anything else, you know. Right? I can cut my hair or, you know, blow my nose or something. You can use it, you know. The full of this kind of called a paradox. Just to show that your human logic, if everything depends on that, is not really very reliable. It has its limits. Anyway, but my point is this. You share something with them to shake their strong atheistic faith, and then they will be open to consider what you might say to them. Now, with the unbelieving roommates and so on, and the student in your class, or even opposers, I would say, you know, if they are open at least to listen, we share something with them. You know, put the words in there. Let me give you a testimony. One brother, you know, when he was in college, and then he shared the gospel with many, many friends. And one particular one just would not take it. Then they come to the graduation. So before they departed, so this brother told his classmate, says, you know, I shared so much with you, but remember one thing. I may not see you, you know, anymore. I don't know. But remember this one thing. Whenever you really, really have the need, okay, remember this. Call on the name of the Lord, to pray to the Lord. And that was it. Then later on, 20 years later, his classmate went to do business and that became very successful and you know, business world up and down. And then one day he received a call from this friend. Says, "Oh, thank you. I'm a Christian now." So he asked him, "What's happening?" He says, "You know, after 20 years, you know, my business was very successful recently, you know, because of change environment and so forth, I went bankrupt. And then with all the debts, all the pressure and so forth, I was going to commit suicide to jump into the water." So he says, when he was, you know, on the bridge and so forth, about to jump, all of a sudden, he remembered. His friend told him, "When you really have the need, pray to the Lord, call on the name of the Lord." So he said, "Well, why don't I try it?" So he did. He just said, "Lord, Lord Jesus," just as above. And he says, "When I call, when I just pray in a simple way," he said, "all of a sudden, all in my heart, like a big stone just dropped. Big stone dropped." And then he did not have that kind of impulse to commit suicide anymore. So he was saved. So he called his, you know, find out, you know, to tell him. He was so thankful. So you can see that, saints, the word we put into people, as Peter, First Peter says, is an incorruptible seed of God.
Amen.
You put in there. You do not know when the Lord, in the right time, occasion, will make that thing alive.
Amen.
You know? We just don't know. You know, like a sea there. You can, you know, recently, some of you probably know, California this year have an enormous amount of rain,
right,
which for many years we have a drought. And because of the rain coming, you know, for the last, all of a sudden, the hillside, everything just filled with wildflower, you know, especially the California poppy, just beautiful. But those seeds have been there, but because no rain. For 5 years, no flower. But this year, the rain came. All the seeds sprouted. So, you know, the word we put into people, are those seeds in there.
Yeah.
So when the right circumstances come, when the rain comes, it will sprout. So, you know, we just be faithful. Put some word into people. And I know recently in China, you know, because a lot of people get very rich because of economical development. Those saints put in word says, all these are vanity. You know, they may say, "Oh, well, I'm rich, you are not. You say I'm vanity." Well, he put that word in there. And many those sort of rich people, they don't get saved. He said, just because of that. At that time, they did not know all this vanity. Mm-hmm. But you all know this. Their situation will change. Family will change. A lot of things change.
Right.
But the word is in them. Then they begin to realize, yes, indeed, these are empty. Vanity. But who is reality? Mm-hmm. Jesus is
Amen.
Reality. So they turn to the Lord. So what I'm saying is that you put the word in them. As a faith. This is our faith. And then that word will supply them life. Amen. Our position is the same. You know, we don't fight back in the sense, in the our way, but we pray for them, and then we also say some words into them. They oppose in this way, that way, but as we say, the wind will blow, the cloud will come, the fire will burn, and then that will put them in a situation that will be open to the word.
Amen.
Amen. So that's, number three, dealing with a failure, sin, or guilt. We all have our failures. We all may fall into a situation and, you know, guilty and so forth. But, you know, the key, of course, is in these, in two sides. One is First John. He says, "No, he is faithful. If we confess our sin, he's faithful. The blood of Jesus, his son, right, will forgive us and wash away all sins and so forth." So that's the foundation, you may say, because this blood of Jesus' son is a powerful word. If you read the footnote there, because Jesus, he's a man, so he has a man's blood. Because his son implies his divinity.
Right.
And then that means his blood is always effective. So there's a footnote there. You know, he says, because the blood of Jesus, of his son, make this blood, the forgiveness of sin, is efficacious, you know, in all space.
Amen.
And everlasting in time.
Amen.
So no matter what situation, no matter how long and so forth, it's always there. It's faithful to carry out to us. Now, and this is on the foundation. So we should not, after we've done that, and then we should resist any accusation from the enemy. So don't make our conscience too weak in the sense that always bring up the same thing, keep accusing us, then we cannot go on. But we have to trust in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
That wash our sins.
Amen.
And that wash away our guilt also.
Amen.
So that's the foundation for us to go on in a positive way. And the positive way is that we have to eat the Word, you know, and also enjoy the Spirit. And in the Word, it's always this. When we come to the Lord, the first one is the blood. Make us clean. Then, after that, is what? The anointing. The Spirit can apply to us as a supply to
Amen.
Us, as an encouragement for us, so we can go on. Sometimes you may have this so-called, you know, Christian called a besetting sin. I dealt with this, but somehow can never shake it. Okay, I give you a few practical help in the following way. Many times, you know, you shared this morning, we have to have a very personal, affectionate, private, and so forth experience with the Lord himself. But also remember, saints, we are not individual Christians.
Right.
We are a member of the body.
Amen.
You have to realize this. You know, Corinthians says we have been baptized, you know, Matthew says we've been baptized into the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Spirit. That's
right.
Absolutely true.
Amen.
But today, we also been baptized into one body.
Amen.
Many members, one body.
Amen.
In other words, this triune God has been enlarged. Head with the body. And we, as a Christian, is not individual Christians. We have been baptized into one body as a member of the body. Therefore, we not only receive the supply, support, encouragement, and the nourishment from the head,
right.
We also receive all these from the members of the body
Amen.
Also. Paul did not get all his commission and his revelation from the head, Christ, who spoke to him from the heaven. When he asked, what must I do? Well, the Lord was not telling him.
Right.
So, well, you must go into the sin. Someone will tell you what you must do.
Right.
Through what? Through a member of the body who is Ananias.
Right.
To tell him, to open his eyes, to lay his hand on them,
Amen.
Receive him into the body, so then he can be supplied in the body also.
Amen.
So the reason I'm saying is this. We need the help of the body.
Amen.
We need to help the body. A certain things to prevent these things is that if we are fully involved in the body life, our time, our mind, everything will be occupied.
Right.
Will be sanctified.
Amen.
If we're by yourself, by ourselves, and then many times our time and so forth will not, well, our mind will do this, do that, and so forth. But the body will sanctify us.
Amen.
If we're fully with the body, you know, we are doing things with the saints and so forth, our time is occupied, our thoughts will be occupied and so forth. This is the reason we encourage young people to have corporate living.
Amen.
To have a corporate living.
Amen.
So that we don't give the enemy the opportunity to live a sanctified life. This is on the practical side. If our time is occupied in a proper way, then our thoughts will be occupied in a proper way.
Amen.
And then we do not give, you know, the enemy opportunity
Amen.
To inject something,
right.
To take us to somewhere,
right.
And to think about certain things and so forth.
Amen.
This is very practical. Keep yourself busy with the church life.
Amen. Amen.
The busier, the better. So that you have no time to do anything else.
Amen.
We have a joke, right? And you got busy, so that keep you out of the street, keep you off the street. And also, you know, people, you know, I heard in this, you know, they say the idle mind, an idle mind is the playground of the devil. Keep yourself busy, positively. This is very important. But many times you cannot do it yourself. We need the help of the body. It's the member of the body. To put in another very simple practice as an example, but you can apply this to many other things. Say, for example, you say, well, in the morning, I just cannot get up for morning revival. Tired and so forth, you know. When time comes, I just cannot get up. Well, how do you do that? Well, every day you can struggle yourself, it's hard. But then, if you have this heart to pursue the Lord, you make arrangement. You make arrangement with another brother, another sister. Says, okay, how about let's have the morning time? You set the time reasonable, not too early. You know, don't make it at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, reasonable time. And then says, you know, we'll call one another. And you have three, that's really the best. Because two is risky. Three is good. At least one of them, out of the three, one of them at that particular morning, you know, will call anybody. And then when they call, then you can have a time together. You know, I'm just using this as a very simple illustration to help us. That is, we not only need the Lord today is also in the body.
Amen.
The members of the body, one can help one another. Okay, I can only say in a more general way in this sort of situation. Blood of Christ, which is efficacious.
Amen.
In all the space,
amen.
Everlasting in time.
Amen.
And then, once we deal with it, and then He is faithful to wash away all our sins. And when He forgives, He forgets.
Amen.
So you don't remember it. The one only one remember is the enemy. And reject that. And then, from practical side, we need to be positively occupied. Many times I also give an illustration. You know, I have a big yard full of weeds. I keep pulling the weeds. And week after week, later on I get smart. They say, pulling the weeds is not the solution. Plant the good plants in there is the solution. So I plant things in there. And then the plants, the positive plants, will suppress all the weeds. You get my point? Okay. All right. Then number four. Okay, how do we go on in the church life in college? I give you my testimony. Okay. When I get into college, as I said, you know, later on I transfer to another college. I essentially just give myself to the brothers who shepherds us. Whatever he wants to do, I say amen. And in that way, in a way, my time got occupied and become very busy, which is very good. There's something called the second Murphy's Law. The first Murphy's Law is whatever going to go wrong, going to go wrong, or something like that. The second one, if I remember correctly, may not be this name, is this. A job will fill up the time which is available. Let me explain. So suppose it says, okay, I have to study this, and then I have 3 hours, and I will use 3 hours to do it. But then I only have 1 hour. Then in 1 hour, I will get it done also. So in other words, if your time is large, and then you will expand it. You will be very inefficient. You will do a lot of what we call the pencil sharpening, not really doing the work. So, for the young people, I do want to encourage you, you know, do a lot of services you can in the church life. And then you say, well, how about my time? I'm going to study this. You will study. If you allow me, I will say this. When I was in college, you know, the brother who served us said, okay, give me your schedule. Give me your schedule. Okay. We're on the schedule. Okay. So when do you have class? All right. That's the thing. You have to go to class, right? When you have a class, a lab, and so forth. Okay. I give him my schedule. Okay. And then class, this one, market it out. Okay. Then he says what? He says all the rest time is mine. So then he began to fill out some other things for me. Okay, morning revival this time, the Tuesday prayer meeting this time. He filled out that. And then it's still some stuff. Okay, the rest time is yours now. You can use that time to study. Not much time left. Huh? No, still got some time. Yeah. So then what you do is this. Okay, and then you look and say, okay, I only have so much time. And this one. Then I have to make my own schedule to fill in down. For this subject, I need this. For that, I need that, and so forth. And then when you realize you only have so much time, so then when you do it, you're highly concentrated, and then you want to get it done. And then they all get done. You know, my wife just said she almost always get the first one. I did not get the first one. Well, at a certain time, I did. But, you know, it get me through. In a very good way. You know, we don't want to have a bad testimony. My point is this. Our human being is extremely elastic. Mm. Very, very elastic. It depends on whether you have the heart for it. Mm. If you have heart for it and so forth, you can get a lot done in a very short period of time. Mm. But then you have a lot of time in there, well, you just relax, this and that. Well, it will get done, but then you will take much more time to do it. I'm just giving you, it's not something I don't know. And not only this for me, I find out a lot of people are that way. Some of my fellow classmates who are in the church life, they are this way also. They are this way also. It's very good for us to practice this. You know, again, this is a response. I absolutely, there's no rules, regulations, and so forth. Everything done in spirit, in life. Okay. So don't take this as a law, as an incident. But this is a good way to practice it.
Amen.
I wish all of you who go to the college, you know, some are senior and some are junior, but even in the high school, you can practice this. You also make yourself a schedule.
Amen.
And then put in whatever you need to do in the time slot. But then make your church life, church life, of course, is all-inclusive. But I mean particularly on this regular scheduled events such as meetings, prayer, and so forth, so on, you know, like weekend conferences this time, you block it out.
Right.
And then you plan the rest. It says, okay, I still have to study this and that, and so forth. How do I arrange this? And so forth. It will be very, very useful for you.
Amen.
You are the least busy at your stage. As your times go on, you get older and older, you will be busier and busier because your responsibility will be greater and greater. That's always this way. This is why we say this song, Lord Jesus, if I love you, it is now. Never say, well, when I finish this, then I can do this and that. I can tell you, you finish this stage, the next stage just make you busier. That's all. Because of time, I cannot get into a lot of this detail, but, after this in the afternoon and so forth, you want the further fellowship, that's good. And then number 5 is a training connected with a parent's desire. And most of you probably, this may be the early, but still good to plant it into you. Sometimes you have the desire to go to the full-time training. Oh, okay. This training, we're talking about full-time training or like this weekend training? Yeah. But anyway, it's all the same. Okay. In other words, you desire to spend more time, for the Lord and so forth. Your parents want you to study and so forth, more concerned about your future career and so forth. Okay. And I can give you my testimony. My parents are not saved. So they have no idea what the church life is all about. After I got saved and so forth, and then second year, I move back to home. I commute. And then when I move back home, problem arise. Because morning, I get up, and then I was reading the Bible. And my parents say, what are you doing? In the morning time, you should be studying. How come morning you use the best time to study the Bible? And then in the evening, I go to the meeting. So, well, then in the evening time, you should study while you go to the meeting. And the Saturday morning, and then I should be studying. And Saturday morning, I go to the meeting hall to have a cleaning, arranging, and so forth. It gets very difficult. And then later on, my parents and my father figure out my schedule. Whenever he knows the meeting time comes, I'm about to leave, he says, okay, I need you to do this. I cannot do it earlier. I can't do another later. You have to do it at this time. So there's quite a big conflict. What are you going to do? Okay. In terms of one side is that I can explain to them. On the more abstract side is that, you should study. Religion is good, but then you do that after you retire. now you should be careful for your career, your future, you get good grades, and then when you retire, and then you can spend all the time for religion. That's a very typical way, talk. So I reasoned with them. I thought I can, okay? I said this way. I said, why do I have to study? Why? Well, so that you can, get a good education. Why do I need to get a good education? So you can get a good job. Why do I need to get a good job? So you can have a good living, good life. Right. But I tell them, I'm now have the best of life. Mm. I'm joyful. I'm happy. I have the peace. And I told them, all those people have the good job, good money, and so forth. Are they happy? Yeah. Are they joyful? What's the purpose of life? Well, of course, they understand this to some extent, but still, they say, well, you still have to. And so, in other words, they don't see this. They don't see this. So I tell them, the Lord really, make me joyful. This is on the one side, on my side. But for their side, they also know my person change. Okay. So from all this, so eventually, in my situation, is this. I say I have to move out. Because if every day at the home, you see this, you always have a conflict.
Right.
They see me every morning, I'm reading the Bible. Evenings, I go to the meeting. It's inevitable, right? You're going to have conflict. Yeah. So I say, well, allow me to, I will move out. And then two questions practically is the following. How about your grades? If now you already did this, if you move out, you're going to live into the meeting hall. You're not going to have any time to study at all. And the number two is the finance. Well, you move out, you got to pay the rent, you got the food, and so forth, so on. And then, more financial burden for us. So, in this sort of situation, again, this one, the Lord just gave me the faith. He says, okay, no problem. These two, I will guarantee you. I will get a straight A, and I will support myself with a job. They allow me to try. They said, no, that is not going to work. Okay. I said, allow me to try for a term, a semester. Okay. If it doesn't work, I said, the Lord will supply me. If it doesn't work, I'll move back. If it works, this is impossible for me to do. God is real. You have to believe in the Lord, right? Anyway, to make long story short, is this. And the Lord really supplied everything. I found a job, very good job, and according to my schedule. I cannot take a job with the meeting and conflict with meeting and so. The Lord supplied me with a job. The Lord actually, indeed, somehow, I did get busy, indeed. But then, as I said, we're stretchable. And then when I do study, the Lord really give me the concentration, understanding. The Lord also, this word is really true. The knowing Jehovah is the beginning of the wisdom.
Amen.
My mind got renewed. By the renewal of the mind, it is. Anyway, so I did get straight A, which I never get before. And then after his term, and then, oh, this is just a fluke, you know, by chance, you know, something. And because I fulfilled my end, right? They have to fulfill their end. They have to believe the Lord. They back out. But anyway, but then the second term, you know, and then, you know, the Lord is faithful. So with this, I'm just encouraging you. We, as a young person before the Lord, we have to have faith in the Lord and willing to step out for Him.
Amen.
I'm not saying this, you know, blindly and so forth. You have to live in faith. So I'm not saying you do exactly what I do. Right. I'm not saying that at all. Amen. I say, you know, the Lord has to be real to you. The Lord, you know, pray about this and then see how the Lord leads you. But do present your view to them. Present. And then in this aspect, I also would like to say something. But this I have to say it very carefully. Please do not misunderstand me. Okay? This is very important. You know, the Bible did say that we should honor our parents. We do. But the Bible also says that, you know, the Lord still is the first. We cannot honor our parents more than we honor our God. A very good testimony, you know, is a sister. I think it's, what's her name? The one who saved the, Faith, right? Faith Wong or Peace Wong?
Oh, peace.
Peace, okay, Peace Wong. You know, she actually, in a way, she wanted, she has a young sister. You know, the story is very, very, very good, but I don't have the time. To put it this way, she actually did not obey her parents to do a certain thing because she really wanted to serve the Lord. So the word to him is that this, you know, you cannot honor your parents more than me. So she actually left the home. She left the home. And later on, she became very, very useful. You know, become co-workers with, actually saved Witness Lee. And later on, became co-workers with Watchman Nee, Witness Lee, so forth, in Shanghai, and so forth. But you say, did she dishonor the parents? Not at all. Because this one thing, she did not follow her parents, but she really cared for her parents. Every day, you know, when she left and so forth, she write a letter to them, share with them and so forth, supply their need, and at the end of their parents' life, she's the one who really cared for the parents. So I'm saying this, in our heart, we have to honor our parents.
Amen.
But in certain things, when there's a conflict, we have to honor the Lord. But while we honor the Lord, we are still honoring our parents. Do you understand what I'm saying? Please do not misunderstand me, okay? We follow the law, so we just put them aside. Yeah. But you do have to follow the law. And then they will come around. And I did not follow my parents either. But then they came around. Because I did. They know I love them. They know I actually love them even more after I got saved than before I got saved. They know that. They know that. So what I'm saying is we have to follow the Lord and live in the Spirit, and then everything is taken care of in a very good way.
Amen.
And all the fulfillment of the law requirement will be fulfilled. So I'm just encourage you, you know, if there's a conflict, you can talk with them. You know, you can talk with them. And then you can still fulfill the honoring of parents and also following the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. This is in all the situations. This is parents, and then okay. I just take this whatever this order. Okay, the other is about, you know, when sometimes we have some limitation in our health, physically, mentally, and so forth, and we all have our own limitations. So in this sort of situation, how do we go on? On the one hand, we like to go on with the Lord. On the other hand, we may have certain limitations because of our physical health, mental health, and so forth and so on. And then, I will just say this. You know, we all have certain limitations, which is true. And then don't be limited or bothered by that in the following sense. The Lord put us according to his sovereignty and give us a certain our makeup, so to speak.
Right.
Okay, our makeup, physically, mentally, or whatever our situation. But then it's the following. The Lord actually put us in all situations so that in that situation we can glorify the Lord. The Bible does have an example. This was someone is born blind. So people ask the Lord, this child is born blind. Who sinned?
Right.
His parents or him? We look at the situation, born blind, certainly it's a severe limitation, right? But what's the Lord's answer? It's not because of the sin or not, but what? For the glory of the Lord. If we are certain by the Lord's sovereignty, have a certain handicap, okay, limitations, and it seems to be not as, compared to others, you know, I wish this and that and so forth, you know, we have that feeling, that's okay, because we are human. But on the other hand, we have to accept this from the Lord. If that's the Lord's allowment, and then we just take that limitation, and then in that, we can still live out Christ.
Amen.
And that actually is a testimony. That is a testimony. Because in that situation, we can depend on the Lord, overcome all the other situations, and can still live Christ.
Amen.
This is the same principle as that the 2 mites of that the widow. It put in only 2 mites. But the Lord appreciated.
Right.
It better than, more than, say, 10,000 whatever, you know, wealth from a very, very rich man, only what? Give the remainder to the Lord. You see what I'm saying? So we are, you know, spiritual realm does not evaluate by the our situation. The other thing is our testimony. On the one side, it's before man, everybody can see. But also a certain aspect of the testimony is the spiritual realm. The angels, the demons, everybody is also watching. That's also a testimony.
Amen.
Because the testimony of the church is not only on the visible realm, but also in the invisible
Amen.
Realm. So that all can see the Lord's wisdom and the Lord's glory. Okay, so on the other hand, you know, whatever, if the help on the physical side, mental side, we can get the medical help to improve it, by all means do it. You know, I'm not saying we just take it for granted and forget about it. If physically there's a certain modern technology, medical advancement, it can be helpful, and then certainly we can use that. And the mental side or psychological side, we do need to find the help on the medical side or counseling or whatever that help also.
Amen.
This is the same. You know, we are not in the sense that, you know, we don't need those help. Okay? Amen. Number time's left, let me move on quickly. Boy, that's a big... Okay, I'll jump in. Some of these questions take quite a bit of time to do it, you know. Say, for example, dating in the church life. It just cannot be done in a... Okay, I'll do this. Because, you know, I mentioned that, and now... This is a very important one. Okay, I will start from the big picture first and then get down to detail, okay? Who is the first couple?
Adam
and Eve. Why the Lord give Adam a wife?
He's lonely.
Okay, he might be. What other reasons?
Seeking
by Christ in the church, very good. Help her? Help what? Okay, let me put it this way, all right? We human beings in these days, yes, we do have a lot of needs and so forth, you know, a couple, husband, wife, and certainly, and they help us, comfort us, strengthen us, and many, many of these, you know, to meet our needs. That's all good. And also, God given gifts. But you look at the first couple. When God created Adam, he gave him commission. What was that? Be fruitful and multiply and have the dominion, right? How is Adam going to accomplish that? He can't by himself. So this is the reason, and God, in a way, in a very interesting way, says, okay, you cannot do it yourself. Let me see what kind of help you want. So in a way, he paraded all his creatures before him. And he looked at this one, looked at that one. Oh, this is a giraffe, this is a tiger, this is a dog, this is a monkey, and so forth, so on. In other words, why did the Lord parade all this through him? He says, what kind of help do you need to accomplish that? And Adam said, none of this can help me to do that. So then the Lord put a deep sleep there into him and take out the bone, you know, and then build Eve and brought it before him. And then he says, this is it. We all remember that phrase. But what does it mean, this is it? What are you thinking? This is what? Huh? Yeah, but bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. What does that mean? This means the God's commission to him can be accomplished now. He's looking for something that he can fulfill. That is, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and also have a dominion now. Of course, we know this type of Christ in the church. But from human side, it's this. God actually created a co-worker for him.
Amen.
You get my point now?
Yes.
God actually, Adam needed a co-worker. Amen. So that together they can accomplish God's commission.
Amen. That's marriage.
That's marriage. You co-work together for God's purpose.
Amen.
That God's economy can be fulfilled, you need a co-worker.
Amen.
I got an inspiration this from one brother's wedding. When this brother, who is a very good brother, you know, very talented, finished the full-time training and so forth, so on and so forth, and then certainly say, well, you need to be married. And then, make a long story short, so after all the fellowship and so forth, and the brother say, okay, you know, the sister agreed you can write to her. So he sent him a long letter, about 10 points. Number one, number two, number ten. I won't mention, essentially just laid out what his heart is. Okay. And then the sister, actually in the wedding, says, after she read the letter, she said, I was wondering, this brother is seeking for a wife or seeking for a co-worker? Ah, the light on me. Yes, indeed, a wife is a co-worker.
Amen.
Eve is a co-worker of Adam. Okay? So, now my testimony. I say I want to serve the Lord full time, right? How am I going to serve the Lord full time? At least in my thinking, is the following. Number one is that serving the Lord full time, number one, I will be poor. I will not have money. Number two, if I go to Africa, and then environment is going to be tough. So, when I graduate college, brothers come to me, says, well, you need to be married. Is there any sister you might be interested? You know, eventually my answer, well, in my thinking, say, okay, which sister I should be interested? So two conditions. Number one, I'm going to be poor, so my wife better not be pushing me to earn money. So this one has to be a content or not seeking for money. And number two, if we're going to Africa serving, this sister, my wife, better be tough, healthy. You know, if I got sick all the time, I'm going to take care of her, I'm going to serve. So I say, that's half the reason. Half the reason that, you know, she's very healthy. I can testify, she rarely gets sick for all these. We married how many years now? Anyway, 40-some years, okay. She almost never gets sick. So I can really serve. And she never pushed me to get more money. But she's very generous with all the saints. So the Lord more than fulfilled my thinking. You know, maybe you may say, boy, that's funny, that's silly. But anyway, now come to this. I say this. Young brothers and sisters, you give yourself to the Lord. Consecrate yourself to the Lord. You have the heart to serve to the Lord. Your spouse should be your coworker. I'm not saying it's not your wife. Your wife is your coworker. Okay, the Bible says we are joint heirs of the grace. The Peter says that.
Right.
Okay, we're joint heir of the grace. And also, in the Bible, the Lord also says that, you know, we are yoked together.
Right.
You know, husband and wife are yoked together. Yoked together to do what? Yoked together to plow the field. But then if one is this, one's way, you cannot work together. Because there's only one yoke. What is yoke? What the Bible say about the yoke? The yoke is a father's will. This again in Matthew, right? You know, those who have a heavy laden burden and so come to me, I will give you the rest, for my yoke is light. Right? What's my yoke? The Godfather's will. So if we are yoking together, that means we are doing the Father's will together. And the plowing the field and so forth, isn't that the co-worker? So my suggestion or fellowship, at least in this, you know, sort of small way is this. When you consider this matter, first you've consecrated yourself to the Lord. And then pray, Lord, who will be my co-worker? In other words, your wife is your co-worker. And then the wife, you know, the same. Okay, we have to serve the Lord together. No matter what, we yoke together. It has to be equal, right? A yoke has to be equal, because if one is, you know, fast, the lower, you cannot go on together. So you have to be in one accord, have the same heart, same mind, same burden, and so forth. That gives you the oneness, the harmony in the family. Always put the Lord the first. And today, the trend of the world is going down. And then that also make the family is not what the God intended.
Right.
On the surface, you know, everybody say family is the most important. But if you really make the family as the most important, eventually your priority is wrong. Always, always serve the Lord is the first.
Amen.
The Lord has to be what? The head. Amen. Of the household.
Amen.
And then in that, you have the harmony, you have the sweetest relationship with one another, actually. You can forget about all these outside things, because the outside things can change. My wife and I don't know whether have we ever have the candlelight dinner or anything.
No. But,
huh? No? Okay. But I can tell you, those things has nothing to do with our being really that deep love one another.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
Everything I can tell is superficial. Breakable, temporal, you know, fragile. It cannot endure any kind of outward pressure or adversary. But if you both love the Lord, I can tell you that love of Christ will cause you to love one another to the utmost, and nothing can break it.
Amen.
Everybody is seeking for that, but in the wrong way.
Amen.
I can really testify, you know, this kind of a foundation of the really love one another is much deeper.
Yes. Amen.
And you know that, and we all know that. And the confidence is there. The how do you call this, comfortable is also there. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, because this question is particular about dating. Okay, let me put it this way. We do not date according to the world custom.
Right.
We do, in a way, date, in a sense, is for marriage. The best way is this. This is a recommendation for all of you. If that when you are in a certain age, a certain situation, you know, there's a need, and actually we encourage all the saints should be married at the appropriate time. You know, the Paul says, with some very few exceptions, special gifts, and then not married. And nowadays, in my view, the marriage is pushed way, way, way too late. Okay? But nevertheless, as to when one should be married, and everyone is different. Everyone is different. There's no such a law. Historically, and so forth, you know, human being, in terms of physical maturity and so forth, is much earlier than today. It's only in the last, I would say, 100-some years, because of education system and so forth, this marriage got a delay. But that's not the case for the all 6,000 years of human history. But nevertheless, whatever the situation, we fit in there. But then, if you really need to be married, fellowship. Fellowship is a good way in the following. You got a covering, you got the eyes, you got the wisdom of the body. You know, as to when and who and so forth. You got a protection. And the Lord says that marriage, everybody should respect.
Amen.
Because God wants marriage. So the marriage is very holy, and everybody should respect it. Okay? So seeking for a counterpart or co-worker, or a wife or a husband, it's very normal.
Yes.
You know, for the sister to want a husband, for a brother to want a wife, it's very normal. There's nothing shameful about it. And one should be able to fellowship. Okay, and it can be initiated by brother or sister, it's all okay. But it needs to be sanctified.
Amen.
And how can be sanctified? That is, in the fellowship, in the church life, and so forth, not to do it according to the world situation.
Right.
Just dating around and so forth, that's not the way to go. The way to go is that with the purpose that I'm seeking for a spouse to serve the Lord together.
Amen.
And if you have this view, and then in the fellowship, in a sanctified way, and then you can come together to know each other a bit. But if it doesn't fit, and then in a good fellowship, you know, just stop it. Because we in the church life, no matter what, if a marriage doesn't work out, we are still brothers and sisters in the same family, in the God's family. We want to go on together in a good way. You see my point? So that we will not have so-called these traumatic breakup, those kind of things. We don't. Because we are always in a sincere, sanctified fellowship. You see what I'm saying? In the fellowship, we can decide to go this way, decide to go that way, and so forth. You know, I know we are all human beings. We have emotions and so forth. And sometimes, you know, things don't go our way. You know, we have emotionally, you know, we don't feel good about it. We maybe suffer and so forth. But that's all part of this process, but still we have to be in spirit, and then the Lord will take care of all our needs.
Amen.
Okay, I only have about 3 minutes to go. Okay, this is also very important, is that keeping the faith. You know, sometimes in our Christian life, indeed, we may encounter certain things in the crisis, either a human suffering or certain things happen or certain things we don't understand, how come God did this way and so forth, we may, quote, lose faith. Faith, okay? Doubting about God and so forth, so on and so forth. And this can happen to almost all of us. You know, sometimes the weaker moment and certain things, and especially this world today, so much is against our faith. Either from science, from sociology, from so-called political movement, this and that, and so forth. And it bombards us. And for this part, you know, my suggestion is this. When you have such a doubt, okay, pray and seek for fellowship.
Amen.
Really seek for fellowship. Don't struggle yourself. You know, if a certain things about this question, that was how come is this, how come is that, and so forth, so on. Fellowship, you get a supply. And certainly the word, by that time, of course, you may say, well, the word I really don't know. Maybe there's a conflict, maybe this and that, and so forth. So therefore, you seek for the fellowship, and a lot of saints, they have gone through this. As to the human suffering, that's a big thing. Many times, we say, well, if the Lord is loving, and then I pray this, and how come I've suffered such a loss? What's the point? What's the purpose? And then many times, it's very difficult to reconcile these things in our mind. Especially either personal suffering or someone who suffered something very close to us. Okay? So all this I can say is that because, you know, talk about this, why the suffering and so forth, they're going to take some time to get into that. But at this time, I can only say, do fellowship. You know, ask, you know, especially for the young people, ask some, you know, those who are shepherd you, and if they don't know, they will fellowship, right? And there is a supply in the body. And that many people can testify to you. They have gone through some many of these things. How do they keep their faith? We know that in the history, many people, you know, suffer a lot. And then they kept their faith. And how do they do that? And so forth. Those can help you a lot. I probably end with, and also this include many of the social issues today, a social movement about this and that, you know, about these, Lifestyles, yeah, it's various lifestyles about the homosexuality and how do they reconcile this and that. You know, we don't have the time to get into this and so forth. But, you know, these are, you know, you got to encounter this. And how do we resolve these things in a good way? And then these do need some fellowship. Okay. I will end up with one lighter note. It says, what was before God? Yeah, what was before God? You say, you know, this thing comes from that, and then everything from God, right? And what's before God? Many times I got this question. God created everything. Who created God?
Right, right. Basically, that's the question.
Okay, that may be a bit lighter. Of course, you know, we know this is the following. Number one is that, of course, we have the idea of time before and after. We do have this concept because we human beings living in the realm of space and time. So time is one direction. Okay, space have no direction. You can go anyway. Time does have it. So the arrow of time. But I can tell you this. If you ask a physicist, what is time? It's very difficult to tell you what is time. Time is, in a way, is our experience based upon our physical realm. We have a sense of this time, past, present, and the future. But, you know, I would just can illustrate this to you, okay, in this way. But with God, we know that in the Bible and so forth, he told them, before Abraham, I was. So they said, well, you just have what, no more than how many years? What, you are before Abraham? And recently, we all studied this Ezekiel, right? And then you say, in the throne, was who was there?
Like the Son of Man.
But that was before Jesus was incarnated. So when did he become a man? When? When he was born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem? But Ezekiel already saw him. Not only that, Abraham saw him. So he may come to him. So this matter of the time, you see, many times what we have is that we use our limited human sensory or perception, try to include the creator of God himself, and then that's impossible to do. Many times I use this example. Here's a container. That's our capacity. Whereas God is what? A huge watermelon. I want to put the whole thing in here. What are you going to do? You put a part in it, inevitably many other parts will be outside. You say, oh, it doesn't come in. With this is not only with this, but the matter about the divine Trinity. Trinity, three, yet one. It's three or one. A human being is either three or one. Cannot be one. If one, it cannot be three. If three, cannot be one. But God is three, yet one. So this sort of thing, we have to use our spirit with the intuition. We don't have any problem. But once you get in your mind into logic, then you always get a problem. Not only who is before God and the Trinity, many other things. Do we have a free will or not, and so forth. You know, whether our belief is completed by God's grace or by our faith, our believing. All these kind of things, you know, if you are only in the sort of this kind of human realm, in the reasoning and so forth, it's too small a system to contain the infinite God himself. Okay? Amen. Maybe because of time, I already overshoot a few minutes. I will stop here. And I know, you know, young people, you know, you have these thoughts. That's very natural. There's nothing wrong with it. But some of the things, in my view, is that there's no solution in this particular realm. But you have to enlarge your system. Since they asked me, I will tell you. Most of you know what's a quadratic equation, right? Now I'm teaching mathematics now. Huh? A squared, AX squared plus BX plus C equals zero. That's a quadratic equation. Now, huh? Okay. Now I'm asking the following question. Does every quadratic equation have a solution? Yes or no? Ah, see, there are two people opinions. Some say yes, some say no. And then some says, you know, imaginary. That's precisely my point I'm going to make. If you restrict yourself, say, well, I only know real number because that's only real. And then some equations don't have a solution. Like x squared equals minus 1. There's no solution in the real number. Right? But then if you allow something called the imaginary number, then everyone, all the polynomials, will have a solution. Will have actually, you know, many solutions. So, you know, nowadays you learn this in the high school or junior high about quadratic equation. They will introduce the imaginary number to you and you just take it. But you have to know historically, mathematics development, this was a huge controversy in the development of mathematics because at that time, many people just cannot accept imaginary number. That's why it's called imaginary. It's not real. Versus real. But nowadays, everybody knows that, not only everybody, I would say, if you are an engineer, especially electrical engineer, without the imaginary number, many science just cannot carry on. This so-called imaginary number becomes very real because in alternating circuits and so forth, so on, that's represented the phase of the electricity and so forth, so on. Well, the question is that, do you accept imaginary number or not? So my illustration in this way is this. There are something beyond a physical realm. There are something beyond a reason, logical realm. It's called what? It's in the spirit, in the intuition. This is called the divine and the mystical realm.
Amen.
In the divine and the mystical realm, everything has a perfect solution.
Amen.
Even have an exact solution.
Amen.
So, saints, I just use this simple illustration. A lot of things in the Bible you may not understand now. You may say, obviously, it seems like there's a conflict or there's a contradiction. I tell you, there's no conflict, there's no construction. Depends on your system. Okay? If you allow not only just a mind, reason, logic, and so forth, and then you can enlarge the divine mystical realm, and then everything makes perfect sense. Okay, I'll stop. Amen.